allergies, itchy eyes or skin, cold or sore throat, tummy trouble, aches and pains? Think pharmacy first. Your local pharmacy is your expert NHS health team, treating a wide range of common illnesses and health concerns, with no need to visit your GP. Remember, always keep a well-stocked medicine cabinet and order repeat prescriptions in plenty of time. Find your local pharmacy at nhs.uk/findapharmacy. NHS, here to help.
This is the North East and North Cumbria Providers Podcast, highlighting the fantastic work taking place across the region to provide the highest quality of care.
Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of the Providers Podcast. I'm your host, Harry Newhouse, Communications Officer for the North East and North Cumbria Provider Collaborative. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by a very special guest, Ken Bremner, Chair of the North East and North Cumbria Provider Collaborative and Chief Executive of South Tyneside and Sunderland NHS Foundation Trust. Ken's here to reflect on a year of remarkable progress across our region's NHS services, from groundbreaking innovations to real improvements in care, and to look ahead at what's next for the collaborative in 2025 and beyond. Ken, thanks so much for being with us. It's great to have you on the podcast.
No problem.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit more about the Provider Collaborative and your role as chair?
Sure. Well, essentially, the collaborative covers 11 foundation trusts in the North East North Cumbria. We are quite unique in that we are a region fully made up of foundation trusts. And that not only includes the main acute and community trusts, but also our two mental health foundation trusts and obviously North East Ambulance as well. So it's truly representative of the whole of the North East and Cumbria. And that was a deliberate design from day one to have something that had full coverage, fully integrated across all the providers in our particular region. Now, as you'll know, many of your listeners hopefully know as well, the North East North Cumbria is quite a big geographical region. It covers 3.2 million people. And many differences. We've got areas that are very rural and we've got areas, of course, that are quite urbanised and almost everything in between. So across that geography, we've got a shared ambition of trying to collectively plan and develop our health services better and to take some, I suppose, joint or shared action on particular challenges that we all, by and large, face. So, for example, tackling things like waiting times, making sure we've got appropriate access to care across our region, our workforce and the resilience of our workforce, as well as learning and sharing ideas and innovations between all the providers as well. And I suppose my role as chair, which won't go on forever, our intention is to rotate the chair amongst our foundation trusts over a period of time. So I'm essentially the second chair. There was one before me briefly. But there'll be others beyond, hopefully taken from the chief execs. But my role really is about making sure the collab as a whole has got some form of purpose, direction, and trying to align all our partners or FTs to towards some collective better patient care and to develop our culture, our collective culture, and our overall leadership across the region.
What would you say have been some of the standout achievements for the Provider Collaborative this year and what has the impact been for patients?
Well, I think there's been some big milestones this year. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about 25, 26 in a second or two, so more to come as well. But I'll mention two or three now, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Firstly, we opened the first of what will be three new community diagnostic centres across the region, the first one being in Metro Centre in Gateshead, the two more in the pipeline. This has already helped us to develop or deliver about another quarter, just under a quarter of a million extra diagnostic tests by putting extra capacity into the system. But not only that capacity, trying to make it more accessible to patients and hopefully is going to give us more earlier detection of disease. Second area is probably around waiting times for our planned care, which were some of the best in the NHS historically anyway, but we wanted to keep it up there and hopefully improve that as well. And this means patients getting quicker access here in the North East and North Cumbria than anywhere else across England. Our what's known as RTT, referral to treatment, waiting time is currently the best performance in England, Just over 70% of our patients now are seen within 18 weeks of a GP referral if they live in the northeast North Cumbria, which is way, way better than the national average. But perhaps the most important achievement to maybe recognise and to celebrate, and you'll read more about this in the annual report, I've got no doubt in due course, is, I guess, the commitment we've made to collaboration. And every single trust, foundation trust, has made that commitment in this Northeast. If you boil it down, actually, we've all got the same goals. We've all got the same objectives, and that's to deliver the highest quality of care we can and to deliver some of the best possible outcomes we can for patients. There's much we can do to learn from each other or learn more from each other. And it's great to see, from my perspective, that culture of collaboration now becoming better embedded in every organisation across the Northeast North Cumbria.
And we've seen major developments like the opening of two new community diagnostic centres this year and another on the way. What impact are these having on care delivery, and how are these centres changing the way people access diagnostic services?
Well, before I come on to that, actually, there's a stage before that, actually, which is just worth highlighting, I think, to today, in that the CDCs in our region were created out of collective decision-making through the collaborative, and that went into agreeing where the heck these things should be located. Usually that's a bit of a bun fight, if I'm going to describe it as such. It wasn't this time. We sat down and said, actually, what's a sensible geographical spread for these CDCs across our region? Where are they going to be located? And we were trying to make sure wherever they were located, we got maximum access for patients right across the region. And a year's gone by, maybe in the early years of Foundation Trusts, and we were one of the first in South Tyneside and Sunderland, that was maybe driven more by competition. And they weren't the sort of open, transparent conversations that we would have necessarily had 10 or 15 years ago. That's now changed a bit. The aim of these CDCs is quite simple: to offer faster, close-at-home access to tests and scans, often done in one visit rather than repeated visits, to help improve earlier diagnosis in cancer and a range of other issues as well. And this is very much in line with the ambition that we're going to hear more about in the soon-to-be-published 10-year plan about moving more of our care from hospital into a community setting. The locations themselves are in much more convenient community locations, the Metro Centre being an example, but there's other town centre locations, shopping centre locations coming, all aimed at increasing accessibility and hopefully the uptake as a consequence. So we've already seen the impact of Gateshead, the Metro Centre one, which opened last year. We've seen over a 30% increase in the volume of tests done compared to the previous year. We've got two further CDCs, I was going to say coming online, but one's already online, in last year and into this year. One of those now opened in Stockton, and a further one will open in Cumbria, Workington, later this year. And don't forget, these developments, whilst they're great in terms of more capacity for healthcare, they also have an impact on our local economies. The Metro Centre alone has created something like 130 jobs, which is great for employment in the northeast as well.
And some of the work for diagnostics in the region, so we can speak from a trust perspective with the Integrated Diagnostic Centre that opened up not that long ago here at South Tyneside. You could probably speak from a trust perspective of just how that's benefited South Tyneside and Sunderland.
Yeah, quite interesting in a way, because that decision to create our own integrated diagnostic centre came actually just before the national launch of all the community diagnostic centres. So I would argue if we were a little bit ahead of time, because we saw the benefits in investing in diagnostics, because I do believe, looking forward, the earlier we detect disease, the better. And to do that, you need appropriate investment in a wide range of diagnostic tests. And the more accessible you make that for the population, the more chance you've got of people using it and detecting that disease earlier and dealing with it up front rather than later on.
Over the last year, the North East and North Cumbria has consistently had the best waiting times in England. What role has collaboration played in improving elective care performance across the region?
Well, I think right from the very start of the collaborative, quite a few years ago now, we wanted to try and make sure waiting times and access for care was an important part of what we were going to do. But we wanted to try and make sure we got as much equity in terms of how quickly people can access care across our region. There's no sense in one trust having excellent waiting times and trust next door having a problem, really struggling. So to help this, we set up quite early on what's known as the Mutual Support Coordination Group, a bit of a mouthful. That's been running for about 2 years now. And this brings together all the operational leads from all the foundation trusts across the patch every single week to make sure we're making best use of all our capacity. And I suppose we don't want any operating slot to go unfilled, to put it into something straightforward. And there's a lot of work's been done through that mutual support group to make sure our patients are getting quicker access to care. It's been a bit of a cultural change in many ways for all our respective teams to adapt to. I referenced one of the earlier questions a little bit about the competitive nature of foundation trusts previously. And people were quite guarded about opening up the size of their waiting lists, their waiting times, etc., etc. But I do feel the world's changed quite a lot now, and we are seeing much more of that openness and transparency. And that's quite refreshing. And after all, we are one NHS, aren't we? But the important thing about this collaboration is the impact it's having on patient care. So through the mutual support group, we've seen, or they've reviewed over 2,000 cases in the last 12 months and offered patients the choice of moving their treatment to another provider. And if they do, they're getting access to it quicker. So I do believe we're in the foothills of this particular revolution, and there's more to come in future. It's meant that our region is one of the top performing regions in the country, in the top three in England, in terms of our ability to reduce those long waits, and particularly now those patients waiting over 52 weeks for care. We've seen the evidence of that, and the mutual support group has undoubtedly helped make sure that performance has continued to be in the top echelons of England.
And the new medicines manufacturing centre is another major development for the region, and the provider collaborative has played an instrumental role in securing this investment of almost £30 million. Can you tell us more about what it will do and why it's so important?
You're quite right. Another major milestone for the collaborative this year, and this will spill over into next year as well. We've now got the Medicines Manufacturing Centre, or MMC, key part of the region's overall approach to innovation, collaboration, and hopefully improving outcomes for patients and staff as well. And 30 million is not to be sniffed at, particularly when capital has been scarce on the ground. So we got a good share of that national cake for this particular investment. So last September, that's 2024, we got the official approval, green light, from Department of Health and Social Care for our new regional medicines manufacturing centre, which will be based up at Seaton Delaval. And this is a real tangible example of collaboration and leadership that the provider collaborative has given. And it's a demonstrable outcome from the impact of doing things together. The project, supported by all 8 acute and community foundation trusts in the Northeast to help produce aseptic medicine. And by scaling up our manufacturing and production to a regional scale, that sort of size, where it makes sense to do so, we undoubtedly can make some great savings in both time and efficiency. The facility itself is going to supply around about 50% of the injectable cancer medicines used in all the hospitals across our region by helping to streamline the service, reduce pressure on existing aseptic units, many of which are quite old, and we've got one locally in exactly that position here in Sunderland, but many also near or at full capacity already as well. So our local hospitals will continue to exist in the future, but they'll work as part of a hub-and-spoke arrangement, with the hub now being the manufacturing centre in Seaton Delaval.
And you sort of mentioned there how it's going to benefit foundation trusts across the region.
Yes.
But how will this facility support frontline staff and improve patient care?
So the aim is to free up clinical time, putting it simply, to particularly in our wards, to deliver more direct patient care and spend less time essentially preparing medicines. In many ways, it's simple that. Stop doing that. Use that time to support more direct patient care. Roughly, we estimated as part of the business case process that once the new manufacturing unit's up and in running, we'll talk about that in a second or two, it's going to free up something like 2,500 nursing hours per week across our region. And that's going to allow more of that time, all of that time, to be redirected into direct patient care. So in many ways, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. We're doing exactly the right thing. So as I said, the facility will produce high-quality, ready-to-administer injectable medicines, including chemotherapy drugs, intravenous antibiotics, and ready-labelled medicines that are going to support faster patient discharge as well. There'll be some obvious benefits around the manufacturing efficiency of this plant, absolutely, because we're doing it at a big scale. But that will also, we hope, improve the consistency and safety and quality of the products that come out from that manufacturing facility. We've now got a managing director in place now to oversee the build, which is now underway. Talking earlier about the impact on the economy, this one has two. This will create 150 jobs in our region, which is great, around that part of the world. It's got to go through some more formal regulatory validation and inspection by the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency. Bit of a mouthful. That'll happen in 2026, and if everything goes to plan, we expect production to start in April 2026.
You mentioned earlier how the big of a region the North East and North Cumbria is. All the, our foundation trusts across the provider clubs have support over 3.2 million people across the region. How important is it that our foundation trusts work together, and what impact do you think collaboration is having on improving patient care?
Well, we've talked already, haven't we, about some of the benefits we've seen, some about performance, equity, access, right through to safety, and sustainability of medicines we've just discussed. So there are some clear and obvious benefits. The other bit I suppose we haven't talked about at the moment is the ability we've got now to spread best practice more easily, facilitate faster quality improvements, and to make sure we've got a strong collective response at times of pressure and sometimes, unfortunately, at times of crisis, particularly in areas like winter. So having a focus together, having the platform to talk together, to share best practice, I think is quite a powerful tool. So that mindset of collective working together, where necessary, I'll talk a little bit of this in a second or two, is, I think, going to be even more important as we enter another period of structural change in the NHS. In many ways, hospitals and GPs are the cornerstone of the NHS. They've always been there. Patients will always look to them. They understand what they're about. So whilst we've got more structural change going on around us, it's even more important that we focus on what we do best for patients in our localities. And that there is real strength in the size of our collaborative, in that we have the ability to combine our expertise, our resources, to spread innovation at scale right across the system. And that increasingly will be a system that needs to include both colleagues in primary care and in social care as well. And that's maybe a little bit into the future. So working together, the strength of working together means we can have bigger impact on some of the deep-rooted, deep-seated regional challenges we've got around health inequalities in particular, and we know we've got them. It's vital to also help us build resilience into our workforce and also thinking ahead about the stability and sustainability of our clinical services. And we do want to make sure that patients across our region benefit from something that's more coordinated, more equitable, and more timely, with less variation in outcomes at the end of this for patients.
How does the work of our nested collaboratives? So we've got Great North Healthcare Alliance, we've got University Hospitals Tees now,
yes,
and South Tyneside and Sunderland and Carrick Durham are in the early process of working together. So how does the work of our nested collaboratives link in with the work of the wider provider collaborative?
Well, you're quite right. As part of the wider provider collaborative covering the whole of North East North Cumbria, we've got three emerging, what you might call local or nested collaboratives between our FTs. Yes, the Great North Health Alliance. Yes, we've got University Hospitals Tees and the Central Patch between ourselves and County Durham. We really need a name for that Central Patch, don't we? So we need to come to match the others. We're a bit off the pace with that one, but that's coming. So we've got those three nested collaboratives taking their own work forward, but also not to forget we've got our two mental health trust as well, or also acting effectively as a nested collaborative with mental health services and learning disability as well. So we've got a number of different subsections of our region. And the focus of all the work is, again, thinking about where we can best improve our efforts around local services, better deliver integration, and to make sure we've got clinical sustainability for the future. And the nested collaboratives enable action to happen at the right scale. Now, does not everything we do as a collaborative needs to be done everywhere. There are some things that most definitely do. That scale and size is important. But equally, there's things that we want to keep embedded in our local communities and our local places. And the nested collaboratives, whatever they're called, allow us to do both those together. Make sense out of what needs to be driven locally, but do things at scale where we need that scale of the bigger patch. And there's local needs and there's nuances in our local needs. I described at the start the balance we have between the rurality of the northeast North Cumbria with the very urbanised areas. There are parts of North Northumberland, County Durham, and of course east west of the Pennines that are very rural. Mm-hmm. Their health needs are somewhat different to the big urban centres of Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, just to name three at random. So we've got to get the balance right between what we leave locally, what we do together. But doing it within a kind of framework is actually quite important. And that's why I'm particularly keen, and we may talk about this in a second or two, to start to develop, for the first time ever, a strategic approach to clinical services across our particular region.
And the Provider Collaborative has also been working on a long-term strategic plan for clinical services, which you just mentioned there, in particular those being delivered in hospital. What's the vision behind this work?
Well, we don't have, and this might be a surprise to some of your listeners, don't have and never have had a clinical strategy for our region. And I've always felt that as an absence, that when it comes to making decisions about where major investments might go, particularly if it requires some prioritisation, we're doing it in the absence of any clear strategy. And some of the decisions previously, I think, were made maybe suboptimally. So having that wraparound framework about what are we aiming towards, that vision, is important. And the vision is quite simple, is to make sure we've got sustainable hospital services across our region in 10 years' time. And we've started to look at this now through a piece of work led by the Collaborative. I am to chair this one, as it happens, which is our strategic approach to clinical services. So the aim to work together as FTs to make some transformative improvements in hospital-based care and to make sure that actually any future provision aligns with the needs, the health needs of our various populations. So we've done a lot of work in the last 12 months with clinical and other colleagues from right across our region to help develop a draft framework for this work. And it's going to cover three broad areas. Firstly, setting out some shared long-term clinical ambitions, which all providers and relevant system partners and all our networks can sign up to help deliver. Secondly, by agreeing some key strategic clinical areas where we can test delivery of these system ambitions. And thirdly, again, by sharing and spreading some of the learning to other clinical areas to maximise service sustainability. So we'll start off testing this in a range of small sub-specialties, basically, prove the concept works and then scale out where we can, but wrapping it into this overall framework we'll have for the region about where we're going. We're hoping by the autumn we'll be ready to share more details, particularly about where and how we need to standardise pathways of hospital care, ensuring greater equity of provision and also demonstrating clinical sustainability of services. And we'll be thinking hard about how we deliver on that shared ambition to move more of our care, again, going back to the 10-year plan, more of that care out of hospital into community settings.
As a provider collaborative, how are we involving clinical leaders and local communities to shape the future of hospital services in the strategic plan?
Again, really important question, so thanks for highlighting. All this work is being driven by our own clinical teams and this is an important and, also by what patients are telling us. And our staff and patients understand probably better than anybody where we need to change and where we need to improve. So over the past year, we've had 100 clinical leaders involved in shaping some of the draft framework around the strategic clinical review service I've just talked about. We've also started thinking at the outset about how do we get robust patient insight and analysis. Again, we've been looking at feedback and data from right across the region, from a wide variety of sources, diverse range of views, I can tell you, about what matter most to local people when they're accessing hospital care. So we'll do the two and two together, almost co-production of that clinical strategy
What are people telling us? What do they want? What are their needs? Then how do we shape a system that actually delivers that, but sustainable for the future? So the commitment to involve staff and patients, and of course, lots of our other stakeholders, ICBs, local authorities, etc., is something I am particularly keen to emphasise. And as that work gets going properly, it's going to underpin everything that we do.
I know that leadership in the NHS is a subject close to your heart, and we've seen some key personal changes at the Trust across the region this year, with some chief executives announcing their retirement and others moving into new roles. How important is it that we continue to build a culture of collective leadership for the future, and how is the Provider Collaborative helping to grow and embed this in our region?
Well, you're right, we have had some change, actually, and we've, after a period of quite a lot of stability in our leadership across the northeast and North Cumbria, and that's undoubtedly been has a direct impact on the success we've had as organisations. But the future of our NHS does rely on strong, aligned system leadership, not just across our FTs, but across all the health and social care system and partners working there, again, particularly primary care and social care. Through the collab itself, we have put a strong emphasis from day one in making sure we develop some of that system thinking. We've done it primarily through a board development programme, and the first cohort is currently underway. That's run in parallel with all the national and other programmes that run around leadership, but by definition they're quite restrictive in terms of their access. Maybe there's only 20 or 30 places nationally. The North East may only get two or three out of that. So we all felt there was people with talent in our organisations at all levels that may not get through just because it's a numbers game onto some of those programmes. We needed something ourselves that we could support locally. So we've developed, in collaboration with the North East and Yorkshire Leadership Academy and the Collaborative itself, this board development programme. It involves a series of development days hosted by Northumbria University, as well as executive mentorship and the completion of a project to address a particular system level issue. And I really am quite proud of my colleagues who've all stepped up. So each one of the chief executives in the North East and North Cumbria, all 11 of them, are helping support through a kind of SRO type role, each of these individuals who are on the development programme with their project. So they've got direct access into a chief executive, not from their own organisation, to help guide and shape what they're doing in terms of the system work, as well as their own development as part of this programme. I'm doing two myself, as it happens, and they're both totally different, both got great ideas. These are the people we want to encourage to move into senior leadership positions in the future. So hopefully we'll build the next generation of Foundation Trust leaders through a mixture of succession planning and making sure at the same time we embed the right culture of collective system thinking that's got some shared purpose, ambition, and it's open at the same time. Our PLB, Provider Leadership Board, meets monthly to guide direction, sure we've got alignment, and to model itself inclusive leadership. We understand we are role models ourselves, individually in our organisations, but collectively together as well. And yes, you're quite right, we have seen some changes this year. I know you previously have had Helen Ray on the podcast, who has just retired from North East Ambulance Service. And that's good and bad in a way, isn't it? It's bad when losing a lot of experienced people, but it's good. It's allowing us the space now to start to bring people forward, hopefully from this sort of programme, to step into people like Helen's shoes in the future. And you'll know as well, there is a much renewed focus nationally now, sometimes on the back of serious incidents we've had or serious failures in organisations, about the importance of management and leadership. And that's now seen most and felt nationally across the NHS as well. So we're completely in step with what's happening nationally. But it's one of the programmes I think all the FT chief executives are quite delighted we've got off the ground and to help sponsor and support people.
As we look at 2025-26, what are the key priorities for the Provider Collaborative?
Well, two things just jump out. First is we want to continue our prominence and our position in demonstrating shorter and faster waiting times for patients, and obviously to get those waiting lists down. They are coming down locally, they're coming down nationally, but there's still a huge number of patients on waiting lists compared to where we were in 2019 pre-pandemic. So we are trying, the NHS nationally is trying to make greater inroads into that this year. So that we'll want to keep ourselves at the very top of the league tables for performance and whatever metrics get attached to this. The ambition is to get back to some of those NHS constitutional standards. That might take a little bit of time. But coming back to some of the discussion we've had about mutual aid and support, that's where I think we can get a perspective across the organisations in the North East North Cumbria. And if we've got gaps or problems appearing, we can see whether we can solve that by getting patients access in another part of the system. And then the second bit really for 25-26 for me just goes back to the previous discussion we've had really, is starting to develop that strategic approach to clinical services, getting the framework publicised, getting everybody working towards that, testing all the changes and innovations we've got coming on stream against that as well to make sure we can demonstrate we're taking the steps toward that ultimate ambition of quality and sustainability of our hospital services. And that will be a great challenge. I'm not pretending it will be an easy one. It won't. It will be a challenging piece of work to deliver. But unless we have that ambition, we'll never know whether we're being successful or not. And that's part of this.
Finally, from your perspective, what gives you the most hope or excitement about the future of the Provider Collaborative?
Well, we've got a 10-year plan coming. And whilst I have not seen that yet, and I'm sure it's going through countless redrafts before it's ready to go. But I think the thing I can say is that providers, and that's all providers, not just the Foundation Trust, other people provide care as well, GPs, social care, but providers are going to be critical and central to its success. There's no doubt about it, particularly in our local communities. So I think the power of collaboration and what we can achieve together, we've now got a track record in this part of the world, and we know what's possible. We're keen to harness the passion and innovation we see from our staff every day across all 11 Foundation Trusts. That's going to help us deliver something that's faster, it's fairer, and it's better connected together in the future. We've discussed some of the big ticket items coming along with the Seton Delaval development, the third CDC coming on stream, and that's great. We're going to develop that strategic plan for clinical service for our hospitals and hopefully start to see that become a reality as well. And I do sense, and we've always had this in the North East, and maybe it's because we're 310 miles from London, but there is a degree of unity and sense of community in the North East that I don't necessarily see elsewhere. I've worked in other parts of the country, I've worked in the South West, I've worked in Yorkshire before I came back to the North East, but the North East does have a unique sense of identity. Even though we've got our differences in between, collectively, there's a power in the North East that's very evident to me. So working as one system to deliver for patients, and some of the outputs from the collaborative work are hopefully going to show just how well we'll do that in the future. So Wes Streeting said last week in his speech to the NHS Confederation that what he was trying to create now, in a way, was, his words, not mine, FTs for the modern era. And I think that's absolutely correct. And I can reassure you that all 11 FTs in our part of the world are absolutely ready and up for just that.
Brilliant. Lots to look forward to.
Lots indeed.
That brings us to the end of this episode of the Providers Podcast. Thank you, Ken, for joining us and sharing such valuable insights into the work of the North East and North Cumbria Provider Collaborative.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Providers Podcast. Hit subscribe to keep up to date with the latest news and catch up with what we've been up to on our website and social media pages.